Can I invite Anne to bring us our reading?
We're reading from 1 Samuel chapter 23, starting at verse 1. When David was told, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors," he inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" The Lord answered him, "Go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Here in Judah we are afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces?" Once again David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hands." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, "God has delivered him into my hands, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars." And Saul called up all his forces for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod." David said, "Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Lord, God of Israel, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will." Again, David asked, "Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will." So David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You shall be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh.
Thank you for that reading. Let's pray together. Lord, it is exceptionally hot and sticky tonight. It's the end of the day. It's the beginning of a new week. There are many things going through our minds. We feel weak in body, minds that can wander. We ask for your help as we come to your word now. Speak, Lord. Help us to remember and to be able to put into action what you teach us, so that you might be glorified this week and others might be pointed to the Saviour, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is very hot and sticky. You can't believe that it's like this in September, can you, in Cambridge? As I'm preaching, you need to stand up, you need to walk round. Feel free, that's fine. I fully understand. Let's begin with a bit of word association. I want to say the word missionary to you. You don't need to respond out loud at the moment, but there are all kinds of things that come to our minds as we say missionary. Awe-inspiring people, gifted, spiritual, and rather different from us. We feel inadequate as we think about missionaries. That's them, because they're a bit distant. We don't really have a connection with them. It's for others, you know, mission and missionaries and all of that. We've got this guy in on this Sunday night. We're not going to see him again for a little while. So he comes and goes and, oh, that's fine. And we've got a missionary team and we've got others doing this and that's fine. And I can get on with my life because mission and missionaries is nothing to do with me. So we feel irrelevant. Inadequacy and irrelevancy are not two good things to have at all. But I want to say to you, that is not the case. I want to encourage us all this evening to see how we are all needed in the work of missionary, and that missionaries aren't superhuman, and that there is a relevance to each one of us in the part that we can play in the work of mission across the world. And we're going to see this from a slightly surprising part of the Bible. As that reading was brought to you, I wonder if you're thinking, what's he going to speak on from that? All of that about ephods and Philistines and Saul, and what's that got to do with it? Well, our focus is really going to be on one verse, but we're going to put it in its context. And it's verse 16. Look at that with me, please. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. Had some really helpful songs this evening. Thank you, Andrew. I mean, in my notes, I had one of them in already that I was going to quote, "Strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord." Isn't it brilliant, that verse? Don't we all need a Jonathan to come to us and to help us find strength in the Lord? Oh, send me more Jonathans, Lord. That's our prayer. And as you pray that, actually, you suddenly realize that the person next to you is praying that, and you are perhaps going to have to be the Jonathan to them. And someone else is a Jonathan to someone else, and someone else, as we all help each other to find strength in the Lord. And if so, then don't missionaries need that even more? Three things to help us as we think about that. When do we need strength in God? When do we need strength in God? Well, this passage tells us quite simply that David is scared. The first words of Jonathan to David in verse 17 tell us that, because it says, "Don't be afraid." The implication is that he is afraid. You don't say, "Don't be afraid," to someone who is not afraid. It's pointless. You say, "Don't be afraid," to someone who is afraid. And what's caused this fear? Verse 15, while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. There's actually nothing new in that. This has been the story of the past few chapters of Saul the king and his huge army chasing and seeking to kill David. And wherever he has gone, Saul will not give up on trying to murder David. So why is he more fearful now? Why are things so much worse now? Well, I think there are three signs, actually, in this chapter that tell us when a Jonathan is needed and why David is afraid. First of all, his wrong expectations that has led to disappointment. Look back at verse 5. David and his men went to Keilah, inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines, and saved the people. He saved the people. This city is saved. And from that point of victory, it is natural for David to expect things to calm down. He saved them. He expects a great welcome. He expects a great response from this people. But instead, he learns that they will betray him. Did you notice that? As we hear about the different ways in which he's speaking with the Lord and hearing from the Lord, which I'm not going to be talking about, verse 12, David asked, "Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will." That is utterly demoralizing and disappointing. And David looks around and suddenly realizes he's got to leave the comforts of the city, and he's heading now back into the desert. He has come from Jerusalem. He's come from the comforts of Bethlehem. He's come from good places where everything, and now he's living as a nomad in the desert. Why haven't things improved? I've done what is right. I've followed the Lord. I've obeyed the Bible. But the problems still continue, and fear and despondency creeps in, as it does with us. You might have heard of something called the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel, in a very simple phrase, is the idea that the Bible promises you good health and good wealth, and it is yours as right as a Christian. It is a heresy. It is false. It is not true. And we think that it is something that is preached out there. And missionaries often come and tell us that that is something that is infecting the people that they are serving. But let me tell you, it is not out there. It is actually right here. in each one of our hearts. I expected this. There's been that great victory, but now things haven't changed. It's still tough. The reality is a bitter blow to doubt. Does God really, when I've obeyed, when I've done all those things, I thought the Lord would bless me, and now I am in a really difficult situation. Think about church as someone is baptized. As a pastor, when I was a pastor, as I prepared people for baptism, I said, you know, as you do that, there is going to be a sense of really doing something special, and the Lord will meet with you and will bless you. But the following week, the enemy's after you. Watch your heart. It's going to be tough. Think missionary. As the church grows, I think of a particular situation that I can't mention at the moment, nothing to do with those that I've mentioned earlier on. And the church is growing, and suddenly someone has come in and infiltrated that church and has caused opposition and division. Why, Lord? Why? You see, help is needed to find strength in the Lord when we're disappointed. For there is an unending battle, secondly, in this point. For there is opposition. Saul is like a lion facing its prey. It will not give up. Once the lion gets there, the jaws are almost going to be prized off. Saul is like that. He is determined. Verse 14, day after day, Saul's search for him. The writer here wants us to see that this was continuous. This is the Christian's lot. Every day you and I have an enemy against us. At times it is obvious, as the enemy uses all kinds of trials to attack. Being a Christian is never a populist choice. It is difficult. It is tough. And that opposition comes to us in all kinds of different ways. Notice how it wears David down. The spiritual battle gets so hard. He is scared. Don't be afraid, says Jonathan. There is the unending battle. And that leads to the sense of the opposition against you, and then the ongoing weakness and weariness. Where is David? He's not in the comfort of the city of Keilah, no. He is in the desert and hills of the desert of Ziph. It's uncomfortable. Are you enjoying the heat tonight? That's the sort of heat that he has, the sort of dust that he has. Those little creatures that come and bite him, the sort of things that make it very uncomfortable and difficult. And he gets tired. He is weak. And when that happens, the perspective goes wrong and he needs strength. And the combination of all these issues led David to be fearful, for his thinking to be wrong. Because when you are weary and exhausted, you don't see things straight. And that can so often be the case in missionary and what missionaries face. Last November, I went to visit and see Graham and Sally Jones, who are serving in Kenya. I'd been before, been a number of years before with my wife. I knew what I was going to. I knew what to expect. First time, I didn't. This time, I did. I sat in the plane. I thought, yes, I know what it's going to be like. There's going to be no surprises here. It's all going to be fine. And then I arrive, and I suddenly think, no, Darrell, you didn't really remember it that well. So wearying. The power cuts that occur just at a moment without any warning. The dust that clogs up everything. The danger of how you have to drive and how you have to be careful. The lack of basic resources. The loneliness that the missionary faces. The work that the missionary does and the disappointments that come with that. As well as the joys. And then being part of a church that is very different. And not just different, but there are huge struggles. There was one little thing that I came back with. I've sort of said to people again and again, it's so easy for us to clean our teeth, isn't it? You just put the water on and away you go and you do it. You'll do it tonight probably. Perhaps you didn't, you came out here. But there you have to take the bottled water and you've got to pour it into a cup, and then you must make sure you don't put it under the tap because that's got stuff in it that won't do you any good in your insides. And then you put your toothbrush in there, and then, oh, I've got to swill my... Oh, that's horrible to use. Just cleaning your teeth. Day after day after day. Missionaries serving in temperatures like this. Imagine if this was every single day. It is for missionaries in the tropics, in places like that. It wears you down. There's the disappointment, the opposition. You have that, they have that. You don't seem to be the anointed king like David. That's when we need strength in God. Secondly, what is required to help someone find strength in God? Having set the scene, let's focus on Jonathan. Three characteristics that he has that we need to have. He first of all had compassion, that is love. Jonathan sees the need and he is selfless. He's looking beyond his own problems and his own issues to see the need in another, in David. You see, Jonathan had a few problems at home. There was this war going on. Jonathan was also marked out as one who was friendly with David, who was the enemy, and his father was a totalitarian dictator, King Saul. I suppose we can bring this up to date. This is rather like the son of Putin who visits President Zelensky in Ukraine. In that context, his compassion overrules and overrides his own needs to seek the best for David. He puts himself in David's shoes, and he realized that David needed strength, a quality that we need with each other. I wonder if you ever had the discouraging experience of playing top trumps of problems with someone. I'm going to presume here you all know what top trumps is at this point. And top trumps of problems is that when you share your problem with someone seeking help, that they reply and say, oh yes, and what they have is always worse than your problem. And it goes on like that. And at the end, you're just thoroughly discouraged. And you think, I'm never going to talk to this person ever again. When the call that we see in this verse is to be compassionate. As someone shares that problem with them, we don't say, oh, I've got that problem and more. We say, well, we'll see what we're supposed to do in a moment. But we pray for them. We love them. You see, what is the one thing we can never have too much of as Christians? It's love. Love for God, love for our Savior, love for the gospel, love for others, love. Love for missionaries. After all, that is what God calls us to love Him and to love our neighbor. Love. The second part of this is to be purposeful and to act. You see, if you're going to help someone find strength in God, it involves conscious effort. It is intentional. You don't just do it accidentally. You do something. One version puts it like this. And Saul's son, Jonathan, arose and went to David at Horesh. I like that phrase, rose and went. It suggests deliberate effort. To be a Jonathan takes deliberate effort to do act in some way. Just think what a difference it would make if every morning we woke up and we said to ourselves, Lord, today help me to strengthen someone's hand in God. Jonathan did not accidentally meet David in Horesh. He planned and purposed to go and strengthen him. And the mark of Christian maturity is that we build our lives with that intention to strengthen others' hand in God. There are lots of opportunities in church life. Sunday is part of that. As we are here together, we're not here as little individuals, but we're here corporately. Perhaps home groups, times of prayer together, small groups, other groups, meeting one-to-one with someone, Bible study. Whose hand will you strengthen in God today, this week? And as you think of someone, someone else will be thinking of you. Because it's that interaction between one another. It is intentional. It is a habit. It's a good one. We love, we act, and we see. There's a focus here. The strength we are to give each other is strength in God, not in ourselves. Much is spoken about as home advantage, that as the soccer season is occurring, that if you're playing at home, you are much more likely to win than if you are playing away. The statistics tell you that. And the only time that got turned upside down was when COVID was occurring, and it made no difference whether you were playing at home or away because there were no crowds. This is more than a helpful crowd. Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength. No, helped him to find strength in God. Church isn't a support group or a therapy group or a self-help group. The whole point of church is to point each other to Christ. There's a strange paradox here. I want you to notice. On the one hand, we need each other. We need to be Jonathans to one another. But on the other hand, the only way we can really help each other is by saying something or doing something that will cause someone else to depend on God and not on yourself. It is completely selfless. We are pointing people to Christ. Jonathan isn't there to become indispensable to David. He leaves him, as verse 18 tells us. But the Lord is still with David. So we read the Psalms written at this time, like Psalm 54. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Our call is daily to rest on God, to have that strength in him. How do we do that? We're thinking about mission and missionaries. The missionary that faces disappointment, working so far away from home and not having that wonderful reconnection or connection with the church as we have, as we are part of church. The missionary who sometimes faces opposition, weariness, loneliness, always giving to others but rarely receiving, faces challenges in their ministry, as well as so often the loss of material comforts. And even if it is a nice place like Madeira, there is still the loss of family and friends far, far away from those that you love and who love you. So what about us? What can we do? How can we help these folks to find strength in the Lord? Well, we love, we act, and we see. Having seen all of that, we do something, and we do something out of a loving heart. I have the opportunity to go and visit. Perhaps some of your elders, pastor, will do that. I know that's happened in the past. But what about you? You might get involved in vision in short term. At work, it's a great thing to do. But that still might not be for you. What about sending a birthday card to your missionary? You don't actually need to know them. You just need to say, I heard about you on such and such a time, and I wanted to send you this card. And you think, send a card? My daughter said to me the other week, she said, she's 30, she said, Dad, where do I get a stamp from? And I thought, yep, okay, here's a generational thing. Yep, you can get it from the post office, for those of you who are 30 and under. You can buy them, and you can still buy airmail as well, and you can send off a birthday card to your missionaries. And you know what I find as I visit our missionaries, because this is something we do through the mission. We send them to their children and to the missionaries. We go, and they have so few cards. They're so often, I don't know if they get it out because we have just arrived. It might be that, of course. And there is a birthday card. It means so much. Christmas presents. If you thought of sending just a little present to a missionary, call them. Have a Zoom meeting with them. Send some books. Sounds so old-fashioned, but they're always giving. They need to receive. So helpful, so needed. You can help your missionary in those simple ways to find strength in God through your generosity, because they suddenly think, there's a church praying. There are people who I don't know who have actually done this. I praise God for that. And that helps them. It's something we can do. What's required to help someone find strength in God? We could keep talking. I could ask you to talk with one another at this point. I won't. Over refreshments, you might want to do that. How can we do that? Thirdly, how do you help someone find strength in God? This might sound a bit similar to the second point, but it's not. It's not David or Jonathan focused. but rather the focus is on God. And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. Strength is found in God, not in our own efforts. Look with me as what Jonathan does. There are three things he does. He speaks, and he speaks of God's sovereignty. Here's a curious thing. I wonder if you noticed this in the passage. Perhaps answer quietly to yourself as I ask the question. What does Saul want to do in this passage? He wants to find David and kill him. Verse 14, day after day, Saul searched for him. Does Saul find David? No. Why not? Is David particularly good at hiding? I don't think so. It was God's doing. Verse 14. But God did not give David into his hands. Do you hear the subject of that? It's God's. Okay, so that's what Saul wants to do. What does Jonathan want to do? Exactly the same. He wants to find David, doesn't he? And does he find David? Yes, he does. Verse 16, Jonathan went to David at Horesh. Isn't that fascinating? Jonathan coming to David is a huge example of God's sovereignty, that he is in control. And Jonathan speaks about this sovereign God to help him find strength in God. Verse 17, my father Saul will not lay a hand on you. How does he know that? Because there is a sovereign God. We might be reluctant to speak to each other about God's sovereignty. Why? Well, there are so many difficulties. I've just written the GBM annual report, and my initial opening part is talking about sovereignty and mystery. God's sovereignty is so often quite mysterious for us. We are not gods. And yet in the Bible, we're told again and again that everything is in God's hands. Not that we dismiss difficult situations or glibly belittle it, but we see who God is. Mission is full of countless examples. Let's name just two of the really famous ones. The fire that destroyed William Carey's writings, including Bible translation, that was such a disaster, led to a huge impetus in growing the modern missionary movement. Jim Elliot and the other four who were murdered in Ecuador, there was a huge impact, even in the salvation of those who murdered those missionaries. Now, I have to say, I don't think they are possibly the best examples to encourage your missionary who's going through a tough time. I don't think they will particularly want to hear about missionaries who've been murdered. That's not going to encourage them. But I hope you get the point. Because there is a better place where we can go. And that is the cross. See, Acts 3, verse 15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Acts 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed. A sovereign God in salvation and a sovereign God in mission is what that tells us to. And there is nothing better than pointing missionaries and one another to the cross and to God's wonderful, amazing sovereignty. To be cross-centered, that is the best place to be. To remind each other and missionaries of the gospel, of what we're doing, of the glory of that. Daily living in the comfort and assurance and the certainty of Christ dying for sinners, dying for me. Are you able to say that? Are you able to say, yes, Jesus died for me and my sin? If not, seek Christ today for that salvation. We also need to remind others of the promises of God. So verse 17, my father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You shall be king over Israel. How did Jonathan know that David would be king over Israel? Well, he knew that Samuel had anointed David to be king. That David was anointed as a boy to be king over Israel. This is God's word. 1 Samuel 16, verse 12. The Lord said, rise and anoint him. David is the one. So the way Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God was to remind him of a promise that God had made and brought him to God's words. Saul can't succeed. Completely impossible for Saul to succeed because David is the one God has promised would be king. Jonathan reminded him of his destiny and the purposes of God, and so it is with us. We strengthen each other's hands in God by reminding each other about the promises of God that are specially suited for each other's needs. There's no better way to strengthen each other than by speaking about those promises, speaking about them to one another in church, but also to our missionaries. Here we have those promises. They are definite. They depend on God. That's why I said, get a book sent to a missionary to encourage them in God's words. Strength is found in Him. Mark those promises and share them with others. You see, there is opposition coming. And what's the antidote to opposition? God's promises. Who is going to win? Read the book of Revelation. It's revealed to us. God will bring about His purposes. And finally, as we think about this practical way, pray. Verse 18, the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. What was that about? Well, they agreed to continue to be committed friends in the Lord. And as they part, what can they do for each other? No Instagram, no Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, text, email, can't even write letters. Well, here is the covenant. A covenant in the Lord speaks of a commitment of God, so they pray for each other. This week, who will you pray for? Your missionaries? Fantastic. But will you let them know that you are praying for them? Message them. Just over the past couple of days, I've had a little bit of crisis with one of our missionaries because of something that's happened. And I've kept on messaging him. And it comes back, thank you. Thank you. Because I was remembering him. And I was praying for him. And I had a concern for him. I know others will have as well. It's not just me. But it makes a difference. And in this day and age where we've got this technology, let's use it. Let's use it. It's so easy. So simple, so straightforward. You see, our missionaries get weary. But that weariness is lifted when you have strength through prayer, when you know others are praying for you. And so there is where we're going to finish. There is a challenge. Jonathan went to David and helped him find strength in God. Yes, he did. Helped him find strength in God. He didn't try or it might happen, but he did it. This week, who will you help find strength in God? You're going to ask someone, how are you? And really mean it. And answer honestly when someone asks you and you say, actually, I'm just rubbish and I'm in such a bad time. Or actually, I've just been blessed by something that I've read or even a sermon on Sunday night. By reminding them of God's sovereignty. Seeing the cross of Christ. Encouraging them by sharing a promise of God so they are lifted up. Praying for them and letting them know that, even praying in person. As that person was speaking to me yesterday morning, I said, okay, let's pray together. And we just prayed together on the phone. They were far away, but we could pray to the living God. And everyone needs this. Pastors do, elders do, home group leaders, youth workers, student workers, all your staff here and everyone else, and missionaries. You can help them in exactly the same way. Join one of the mission teams. Or just take to heart what's being said and take that into what you're going to do. Or find out how you can do this. We're all needed in the work of mission. You are so, so important. Missionaries aren't superhuman. They need us to help them find strength in the Lord again and again and again. So the challenge for us tonight is to see how we might help missionaries and each other to find strength in the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises that are there. We thank you, Lord, that in your word we read about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he bore our sins. And that was in your purposes, in your plans. And you raised him from the dead. And you poured out the Holy Spirit upon your disciples and sent them out to tell others of the glories of the gospel of Christ. Oh Lord, we pray that having received that same Holy Spirit when we were saved, that Lord, you would use us. That Lord, you'd use us as we help others to find strength in you. May we be your missionaries even this week as we do that work. And that Lord, we might know it to be a glory and a joy. And as we do that with one another, may we do that with those who have been called and sent to serve you far away. We pray for them tonight, Lord. Meet with them on this your day, we pray. Encourage them through your promises and use us to be those who help them to find strength in God as they serve you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.